Today we're going to take a little journey. And when I say a journey, I mean a journey like a lifetime. We all talk at times about life as though it were some sort of journey, as indeed it is. And the Bible tells us that Jesus long ago took a journey that had many stops along the way, and those stops are representative of various aspects of his life. And frankly, I will tell you that many people who say they know a lot about Jesus of Nazareth don't seem to know some of the most basic essentials about this person, who he was, who he really was, and what happened to him along the way. So we're going to talk today about that subject as though it were a journey that we're taking along with him. The Bible says in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verse 30, the angel said to her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God shall give to him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How shall this be, seeing that I know not a man?" And the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the Most High shall overshadow thee. Wherefore also the holy thing which is begotten shall be called Son of God. And behold, Elizabeth thy kinswoman, she also hath conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her that was called barren. For no word from God shall be devoid of power." And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. So the first stop along the way is in the womb of Mary. And the Bible tells us that Jesus, the person who at least became Jesus, was implanted in the womb of Mary by the Holy Spirit of God. But as we take that journey, let's go even beyond that. Let's look at the first stage. For that one who was implanted in the womb of Mary, the Bible says had pre-existence. He was, in fact, with God in eternity. John chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." The terminology that John uses is hologos, the Word. And he says, the Word was in the beginning with God. And you'll remember, in the beginning, God said, the Bible says. God said, "Let there be." And there was, the Bible says. In other words, there was, at the center of all this, a creative word, if you will. And it's not like a word that you or I say. You and I can say, "Let there be a horse up here on the stage with me." But you know, I could say that all day. Unless I brought a horse in, it wouldn't be here, would it? I can't say and make things happen. That's the difference between me and God. God has such a capacity. God can say, "Let there be light," and there is light. In fact, God can and did, by the very speaking of that word, "Let there be light," made light where light did not pre-exist. And that's important to understand. The Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word." The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him. And without Him was not anything made that hath been made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. It's important to appreciate also that he says, without him has not anything been made that hath been made. The text tells us then that this one who is the divine word is the agency through which every single thing, not just light and darkness, not just the heavens and the earth, but everything contained within was created by this agency called the Word, which was in the beginning with God and was God, and the text goes on to say was born and dwelt among men. In 1 John 1 verse 1, John went on to talk about that. He says, that which was from the beginning, that which we have heard, that which we have seen with our eyes, that which we have beheld and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. His point is that this person who was in the beginning of God, with God, this person who spoke all things into existence and was the agency of all creation, this one, he says, has appeared to us. We have seen him, and he says, our own hands have handled him. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you also, that you also may have fellowship with us. Yea, and our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. He said to proclaim Christ, to preach him, is to allow someone to share in the blessedness of this experience. In John 8:53, in a debate that Jesus had with the Jews, the Bible says on one occasion, he was asked, art thou greater than our father Abraham, who died, and the prophets died? Whom makest thou thyself? And Jesus answered, if I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father that glorifieth me, of whom you say that he is your God. And you have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I should be like you, a liar. But I know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. The Jews therefore said to him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Before Abraham was born, as one version says, I am. Jesus is saying, I preexisted Abraham. And Abraham, understand, lived in 2000 B.C., 2,000 years before the birth of Christ. Jesus knew the glory and the bliss of the heavenly sphere before he made his way into this land of sin and sorrow in which we dwell. Secondly, we see him in the manger at Bethlehem. The prophets had forecast that he would be there. Isaiah 7:14 is the most memorable. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign, said Isaiah. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Immanuel. Immanu means with us. Common word in the Hebrew language, Immanu, with us. El means God. With us is God. His name, it says, shall be called Immanuel. God is with us. What does that imply? Can't you see what we saw a moment ago with God in eternity? God, the one who existed from eternity. Again, Micah 5 and verse 2. And this one is very insightful. But thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, which art little to be among the thousands of Judah, out of thee, that is out of Bethlehem, shall one come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel. Now watch this. Whose goings forth are from old, even from Olam, from eternity. From eternity itself comes this one. That's what the text is describing. So in the manger at Bethlehem, there is a child in whom is God from eternity. An amazing thought to think. Now God chose a humble couple to be his parents, a humble virgin girl from Galilee to be his mother, and humble surroundings for the birth of the King of all kings. Said Matthew 1:18, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Matthew 2:9, and they having heard the king went their way, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And they came into the house and saw the young child with Mary his mother. And they fell down and worshipped him. And opening their treasures, they offered unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. The newborn child was seen as the King of all kings and was reverenced as such. And then we see him in the temple. Another of our stops along the way on this journey. At age 12, astonishing trained scholars at Jerusalem in the temple with his amazing wisdom. Luke 2:42. And when he was 12 years old, they went up after the custom of the feast, and when they had fulfilled the days, and as they were returning, the boy Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and his parents knew it not. But supposing him to be in the company, they went a day's journey, and they sought for him among their kinsfolk and their acquaintances. And when they found him not, they returned to Jerusalem seeking for him. And it came to pass after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when they saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that you sought me? Knew ye not that I must be in my father's house? Or as one version says, Knew ye not that I must be about my father's business? And so it's important to appreciate the fact that this one, even at age 12, amazed others at his capacities. God in the flesh, that would be expected. John 1:14 says, The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And then as we stop along the way, we see him in the wilderness with Satan. The Son of Man was tested to the full by the enemy of all who dwell in the flesh. Matthew 4 verse 1 says, Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, he afterward was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, If thou art the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him into the holy city, and he set him upon the pinnacle of the temple. And he saith unto him, If thou art the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and on their hands shall they bear thee up, lest haply thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, Again it is written, Thou shalt not make trial of the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him unto an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them. And he said to him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then said Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. He passed every test. And on account of the fact that every test the devil threw at him, he was able to pass, made him the perfect sacrifice for sin, made him also the perfected high priest of God's people. So writes the writer in Hebrews 2:9. We behold him that hath been made a little lower than the angels, even Jesus, because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, and that by the grace of God, he should taste of death for every man. For it became him, for whom are all things, and through whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the author of their salvation perfect through sufferings. And verse 17, wherefore it behooved him in all things to be made like unto his brethren, that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. But then we see him teaching the people the will of God. From day to day, it was his work to teach the people. In fact, his teaching was stunning. It stunned the scholars of the day. And alike, the common people, the Bible says, they hung upon his every word. The scripture says in Matthew 7, at verse 28, and it came to pass, when Jesus had finished these words, the multitudes were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one possessing authority, and not like one of their scribes. In Mark 12:37, the Bible says, the common people heard him gladly. Though he possessed great authority, and that was obvious, the simplest of men were anxious to hear him. They were mesmerized by the depth of his understanding of spiritual things, and most especially of God's will for man. Mark 6:31 says, he said to them, come ye yourselves apart unto a desert place, and rest for a while. He and the disciples were so weary, thronged about as they were with so many people, just masses of them coming to him. But watch, for there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desert place apart. And the people saw them going, and many knew them, and they ran together there on foot from all the cities, and out went them. And he came forth and saw a great multitude. So he thought he had escaped, but not. The disciples thought they had gotten away to a secret place, but not so. He came forth and he saw a great multitude, and he had compassion upon them, because they were like sheep, not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And we see him performing mighty acts of divine power. His miracles are too numerous to mention. Peter, though, summarized them in Acts 2:22 when he preached on the day of Pentecost and said, ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God unto you by mighty works and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, even as ye yourselves know. Mighty works and wonders and signs which God did by him, even as you yourselves know. Many of those people who stood there that day were witnesses to various miracles that Jesus had performed. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He cast out demons. He gave sight to the blind. He made the deaf hear again. He walked upon the stormy waters of the Sea of Galilee. He stilled the stormy sea with the simple phrase, peace, be still. And he rose triumphantly from the tomb. And so we see him alone with God in the Garden of Gethsemane eventually. Again, of course, the disciples had followed along behind him, but the Bible tells us they went to sleep. And facing death for the sins of all men, Jesus agonized at the coming trial that he must endure. Matthew 26:39. He went forward a little And he fell upon his face, praying, saying, My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass away from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples, and he found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, What? Could you not watch with me for 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again a second time he went away and prayed, saying, My Father, if this cannot pass away, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came again and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them again and went away and prayed a third time, saying again the same words. The inward turmoil that he faced is described there. For us it is incomprehensible. We are mere beneficiaries of his struggle. Imagine the bitterness of innocence betrayed. Imagine being punished for the sake of the guilty. Isaiah 53 said it. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. See him then suffering unimaginable agony upon the cross of Calvary. All night long and into the morning hours he had endured abuse and mockery at the hands of his enemies in several different trials. Finally, to a tiny knoll outside of Jerusalem, he dragged his cross. That was the Roman way. One who must die must drag his own implement of death to the site. And so he dragged it until his strength was gone. And finally this instrument of his torture was carried the rest of the way by a mere bystander. The text in a few simple words describes it. Luke 23:32. Two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place that is called the skull, there they crucified him. And the criminals, one on the right side and the other on the left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they cast lots to divide his garments. And the people stood by watching. But the ruler scoffed at him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself. If he is the Christ of God, his chosen one. The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, If you are king of the Jews, save yourself. Verse 46, Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And having said this, he breathed his last. And then we see him 3 days lying dead in the grave, a borrowed grave of a rich man outside Jerusalem became his temporary resting place. Luke 23:50. Now there was a man named Joseph from the Jewish town of Arimathea. He was a member of the council, that is the Sanhedrin, a good and righteous man who had not consented to their decision and action, and he was looking for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down and wrapped it in a linen shroud and laid him in a tomb cut in stone where never another had yet been laid. Satan, at the time, thought himself the victor. By his machinations, he had brought down to death the very Son of God, the Prince of Peace, the Lord of Glory. But no grave could ever hold him. As a popular song put it, go ahead and say I'm dead and gone, but you will see that you were wrong. Go ahead, try to hide the sun, but all will see that I'm the one, because I'll rise again. There's no power on earth can keep me down. Yes, I'll rise again. Death can't keep me in the ground. So we see him risen triumphantly on the third day. When they sought to visit the tomb, the disciples were greeted by God's holy angels, asking them, why seek ye the living among the dead? Luke 24, verse 5. Peter elaborated on the events of those days at Pentecost in Acts 2:23 when he said, him being delivered up by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye by the hand of lawless men did crucify and slay. Not the end of the story. Whom God raised up, having loosed the pangs of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. He quoted from Psalm 16, verse 8, showing that Jesus had fulfilled that prophecy which was uttered by David 1,000 years previous. Acts 2:29, brethren, I may say unto you freely of the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and that his tomb is with us unto this day, being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that by the fruit of his loins he would set one upon his throne. He, foreseeing this, spake of the resurrection of the Christ, that neither was he left unto Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus did God raise up, whereof we are all witnesses. And so again, we see him seated at the right hand of God. Heaven's richest treasure was returned to her when the Savior of the world and of mankind was taken with the clouds of the heavens to the right hand of the throne of the Majesty on high. Said the Gospel of Mark in chapter 16, verse 19, in just simple words. So then the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. Hebrews 1, verse 1. God, having spoken unto the fathers in the olden days, by the prophets, by divers portions, and in divers manners, hath at the end of these days spoken unto us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, and the very image of his substance, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had made purification of sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high, becoming by so much better than the angels, as he has inherited a more excellent name than they. He serves as our high priest forever, writes that writer in chapter 7, 24. He, because he abideth forever, hath his priesthood unchangeable. Wherefore also he is able to save to the uttermost them that draw near unto God through him, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession for them. And then we see him pictured coming in the clouds with great glory someday. The Bible says in Matthew 26, 63, but Jesus held his peace. And the high priest said to him, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou art the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus did him one better. Jesus said to him, thou hast said, it is true what you've said, he says. Nevertheless, I say to you, henceforth you shall see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven. He says, not only is what you say true, but he said, you will see it with your own eyes someday. you will see it. Ladies and gentlemen, our Savior someday is coming in glory. The question is, are you ready? Are you prepared? We have taken this trip, this journey, one step at a time through the life of Jesus of Nazareth, from glory unto glory, sitting at the right hand of God, serving as our high priest, offered as our sacrifice. Remember his words that he urged upon the disciples the night before his betrayal and his death? The disciples, so anxious, so worried, so deeply concerned about what the future might bring, based upon words that he himself had spoken, he encouraged them thus. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. And I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Do you want to be there with him? If you're a Christian, you will be. If you're a faithful Christian, you will be.